السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأتقياء وأصحابه الأصفياء. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. محمد رسول الله، والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم، تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا، سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود، ذلك مثلهم في التوراة، ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فازره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار، وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. My dear brothers and respected elders, honorable ulama, and the sisters who might be listening, I begin in the name of Allah and thank Him and praise Him and glorify Him and seek His forgiveness, ask Him to send His infinite mercy upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to forgive our sins and to enlighten our hearts with His love and love for His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to guide us all to the right path so that we can all live like Muslims, die like Muslims, and rise like Muslims on the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers, it's not easy to be Muslims now. It isn't easy now, it's never been and never will be. We are fast approaching those times regarding which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said there will come a time when people, الرَّجُلُ يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا, people will sell their iman for meager worldly gains. يُصْبِحُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِهُ كَافِرًا, they will be Muslim in the morning, kafir by the evening. وَيُمْسِهُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا, Muslim in the evening, kafir by the morning. Allah has commanded us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, O those who believe, fear Allah as Allah ought to be feared. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, live your lives in such a way that when you die as none other than a Muslim. It's not easy to live like a Muslim. It's how people live is how they will die. How they will die is how they will be raised. Those who live like Muslims can then hope to really die like Muslims. And then when people die like Muslims, then they will be raised like Muslims. Those who don't live like Muslims, they've got no hope in dying as Muslims. And if you don't die like a Muslim, you will never be raised like a Muslim. One thing which Allah loves and Allah bestows upon people is a favor that whosoever people love, Allah will raise them with Him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-maru ma'a man ahab." A man will be with the people he loves. In another hadith, the Prophet said, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum." Whomsoever you resemble, whomsoever you aspire to, you emulate, and you will be raised with them. Those who love Allah, and this is a requirement of iman. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ, those who believe truly, they love Allah profusely. To love Allah, to love Rasulullah. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَالَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ, none of you can be a true believer unless and until I become more dear to them than their parents, their children, and all the people of the world. We should love Allah, we should love Rasulullah, and as such, whatever has to do something with Rasulullah, that should also be dear to us. Rasulullah is dear, his family is dear, his city is dear. Why do people aspire to go to Medina? Why? Because city of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is where he lived the later part of his life. That is where he is buried. His noble grave is there. The bit which is next with the space between the Prophet's grave and his minbar, ma baina bayti wa minbari rawdatun min riyadil jannah. That is a garden from the gardens of paradise. In fact, Allah Himself has sworn by the sanctity honor of Makkah, لا أقسم بهذا البلد. Here, هذا البلد means Makkah. Allah says, I swear by this town, by this city. Why, Ya Allah? Because Ibrahim built it? Allah says, no. وأنت حل بهذا البلد. I swear by this town because you live in this town. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born there. He lived there. The streets where he would walk, where he would go, that is all dear to Allah. The city where Rasulullah was born is special. Where he died is special. Where he's buried is special. The masjid where he used to pray is special. The women who shared his life was special. Allah says, وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. Nabi is more dear to the believers, and his wives are the mothers of the believers. His wives, all of them. Khadija radiallahu anha, she was his first wife. She has three qualities which no other wife has. Number one, she was the first. And as because she was the first, as long as she remained alive, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't get a second wife. First wife, people get other wives sometime as well. And if the first one was close and dear, a person never ever forgets her. And Rasulullah married her when he was young. So she was his first wife. And as long as she remained alive, Rasulullah didn't get a second wife. Many non-Muslims, they accuse Rasulullah. And they say that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a womanizer. He got so many women. He married so many. Well, was Rasulullah the only man to marry so many women? Many prophets, even in the Bible, they are quoted as having many wives. Yaqub alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam. They all had many wives. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had many wives for a special reason. He was rahmatul lil alameen. He was to be the guide and a model for the whole of humanity to come till the day of Qiyamah. And as such, our deen is a perfect deen covering all aspects of life, not just telling you how to pray, how to fast, how to do hajj. Most of your life isn't spent in the masjid. Most of your life will not be spent in Makkah and Medina. Most of your life will be spent at home. Each one of you spends at least 10-12 hours a day, not in the masjid, where? At home, with your wives, with your family. Family life is a very important, special part of our deen. So much so, Rasulullah has regarded marital affairs half of iman. This is half of your life. So tell you, it's not just how you pray here, how nicely you read Quran, which determines what sort of a Muslim you are. The Prophet did say, yes, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرَانَ وَعَلَّمَ. The best amongst you are those who learn and teach Quran. But that's not all Rasulullah said. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam similarly said on the same note, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِ. The best amongst you are those who are good with their families, especially your wives. And the Prophet said, my relationship with my family is on the best possible terms. How you treat your wives, how you treat your children. إِنَّ أَكْمَلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلْقًا وَأَلْطَفُهُمْ بِأَهْلِهِ. The man with the most complete iman is one whose akhlaq is good and who's sensitive and very understanding towards his families. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's relationship with his families was on the best possible term. So Allah wanted the ummah, the humanity, the believers to come till the day of Qiyamah, that they know how to treat their families. So Allah chose these blessed and noble women from amongst all the women of the world. Ya Nisa al-Nabiyyi, lastunna ka ahadim minan nisa. O you wives of the Prophet, you aren't like ordinary women. You are like no other woman of the world. Allah has chosen you to share your lives with His beloved Prophet. Allah says in the Quran, "الطيباتُ لِلطيبينَ وَالطيبونَ لِلطيبات." الطيباتُ لِلطيبين, good women for good men. وَالطيبونَ لِلطيبات, good men for good women. وَالخبيثاتُ لِلخبيثين, bad women for bad men. وَالخبيثونَ لِلخبيثات, bad men for bad women. Bad women for bad men. Good women for good men. Good men for good women. Bad women. You know what? Khabith. Bad is a very light term. Khabith is a very severe term. Khabith women for khabith men, and khabith men for khabith women. Allahu Akbar.
So when anybody Allah blesses children with sons with, when those sons grow up, you put out a word, Maulana, please, if you know some family with a good girl, please let me know, I want to arrange marriage for my son. You want to bring the best bride for your son? Don't you think Allah wanted the best brides for His Prophet? So the women Allah chose to be in the company of Rasulullah, to share his life. Allah chose among the best of the best to share the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah made them your and my mothers, the mothers of the believers. Mothers you have at home, mashallah. If you have your mothers that are alive, make the most of every moment, every day, before you lose them. Before you lose them. With the day they are gone, you will never ever get another mother, you will never get another father. But you go home and you look at your mother with love. With love. You might see a poster outside of Miss World. She might appear very glamorous, very pretty. And you might be fascinated, attracted. But a man who looks at Ghair Mahram on the day of Qiyamah, his eyes will be poked with molten rods. With iron, hot iron rods. But you go home and then you look at your mother with love. She might be, face might be wrinkled, teeth might have fallen out, dentures might be falling out. She can't see properly and her hair has turned all grey. She might even lost her hair. Her back might be arched. But you look at her and you smile. And your father, similarly, he might have grown old and he can't see properly. He can't sit properly. He can't speak properly. But you look at him with love as well. I'll give you the reward of one hajj. Somebody said, Ya Rasulullah, what if you look at them 100 times a day? The Prophet said, well, Allah will give you the reward of 100 times a day. What's wrong with that? Allah's got plenty to give. There's no limit to how much Allah can give. So the mother, you go home, she might be your mother, she might not be your mother. In many cases, people adopt children. Then you might be that, I'm not saying you are, so don't go home and doubt your mother. But there are many cases, she might be your mother, she might not be your mother. In many cases, a person's first wife dies, leaving behind young children, then a person remarries in order to bring up his children. No harm, it's normal practice. So your mother, you address as a mother, she might be your mother, she might not be your mother. May Allah never bring a day when a Muslim goes home and is disrespectful to his mother. And he says, I don't care, woman, you are not my mother. I don't care, I don't regard you as my mother. Very bad, but that won't make you a kafir. But if anybody says, Aisha is not my mother, Hafsa is not my mother, Umme Habiba is not my mother, Maimuna is not my mother, Javeria is not my mother, Zainab bint Jahsh is not my mother, that person will become kafir immediately because Allah says she's your mother. We don't understand Rasulullah, how special Rasulullah was. Every aspect of the person of the Prophet's personality, his name is so special. Muhammad, the most praiseworthy man in the whole creation of Allah. No one has been praised as much as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We sit every week, mashallah, in many places. People might hold talks all over the world. People they praise Allah and they praise Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And why shouldn't they? Allah promised Rasulullah, wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. Oh my beloved Prophet, I will elevate your mention. All over the world people talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muslims and non-Muslims alike. Many of you might know, back in the 1980s, an American, not a Muslim, an American by the name of Michael Hart wrote a book entitled The Ranking of the 100 Most Influential Men in History. Have you heard about the book? How many of you heard? Ranking of the 100 Most Influential Men in History. And you know who he put number one? He put Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as number one. The man who influenced history the most. Who influenced humanity the most. He wasn't a Muslim. He makes it clear he's not a Muslim. And he said, many people might agree with him, many people might be surprised at his choice. But in his opinion, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the only man The only one, wahdahu la sharika la, sent only one, only one. The only one sent only one who was entirely successful at both secular and religious level. Many people have been great religious leaders. Many people have been great secular leaders, great conquerors, great generals, Alexander the Great, Napoleon and others. Allahu Akbar. Many great religious leaders. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam as well. Almost 2 billion people assigned themselves to Isa alayhi salam. Many other religious leaders, Buddha and Ram and others. But he says, in his opinion, the only man to have been totally and entirely successful and extremely successful at both secular and religious level is none other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he says, he transformed people. He transformed divided, scattered people and united them and bonded them in such a bond and set them on the path of victories and transformation, the like of which has never been seen in the entire history of humanity. Non-Muslim. You know, when Muslims praise Rasulullah, people say it's expected. Why? Because we believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah made non-Muslims, kafirs, non-believers in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam praise him and appreciate his achievement. What was his greatest achievement? He created a nation, not just individuals, a nation which was devoted to Allah, obedient to Allah, believed in Allah, submitted to Allah, worshipped Allah, served the cause of Allah. Allah says, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger of Allah. This is a claim, a statement. What's the proof? He is Rasulullah. Allah says, if you have any doubt, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. Look at the people around him. Look at what they were, what they became before Islam, before Rasulullah's appearance, emergence, before they knew Rasulullah, إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً. They were enemies of each other. Allah says to Sahaba, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember my favors upon you. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Look at what you were. You were enemies of one another. Then Allah filled your hearts with love. Allah removed all that enmity and hatred which was there. And Allah changed it with love. Allah filled your hearts with goodness and love for one another. So much so, فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. You became like brothers, even real brothers born to the same mother. Through the same father, won't love each other as much as companions of Rasulullah used to love each other. We are living in times of fitra and fasad, when people regard these companions of Rasulullah, the students of Rasulullah, a measure of the greatness of a teacher. A measure of the great. You want to know how great a teacher is, what do? You look to his students. You want to see the goodness in a tree, you taste its fruit. You want to see the greatness of a Nabi, you look at his ummah. And look at the ummah who are directly in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want to see the greatness of a teacher, look at the students he's prepared. Rasulullah was a teacher as well. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا. The Prophet said, I've been sent as a teacher. وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Allah chose him to teach you the book and wisdom, to make you wise, to make you intelligent, to put something in your heads, to give you the ability and the path to think logically, reasonably, sensibly, and to make you real humans, to purify you. وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ. To purify you with what? With lux, with pomole, with persil, with surf? Your body's only? No, the Prophet ﷺ taught people all aspects of life, including cleanliness, but real cleanliness, cleanliness of the heart and the soul, to purify you through and through. So you think straight, you feel straight, you feel good, you feel pure. Sahaba, the companions and the students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who learned directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not just learned directly, those who learned, they became the best of the best Anybody who saw Rasulullah once, just to see Rasulullah once with Iman, as in the state of Islam, and then remain steadfast and die with that same Iman and Islam, Rasulullah said, La tamassan naru musliman ra'ani aw ra'a man ra'ani, let alone see me. The Prophet said, the fire of Jahannam will not touch anyone who has seen, any Muslim who has seen me or seen someone who has seen me. Not just to see Rasulullah, to see someone who saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the state of Iman and Islam and then die with that Iman, you are guaranteed immunity from Jahannam. Wa kullan wa'adallahu al-husna. Allah promised them all goodness. Goodness meaning what? Inna alladhina sabaqat lahum minna al-husna ulaika anha mub'adun. Allah will keep them far, far, far away from Jahannam. Allah will never allow them to be taken anywhere near Jahannam. Allah will save them and save anyone who has seen Rasulullah, seen someone who has seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are guaranteed immunity from the fire of Jahannam. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says in the Quran, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah will elevate those amongst you with iman and knowledge to lofty ranks. What determines your rank in the eyes of Allah is not your wealth. What might determine the rank of a person in society in dunya might be your wealth, upper class, upper class. Millionaire, billionaire, good for whoever is a millionaire or a billionaire, inshallah. If Allah has given, I am not jealous, may Allah give them more. But that is good for, that is the worldly class. That is the worldly classification. People, mashallah, they move to exclusive areas. And they live in, they drive exclusive cars with exclusive number plates and so on. Everything becomes just special and just exclusive. That is in society. But in the eyes of Allah, these things have no value. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَعْدِلُ جَنَاحًا بَعُودًا لَا يُسْقَى كَافِرٌ شُرْبَةَ مَا. If worldly glamour, all the world and whatever it contains had any value in the eyes of Allah, even equivalent to a wing of a mosquito, Allah wouldn't have given any kafir a sip of water. And the Prophet said, for wallahi, you know when people say things and somebody says, don't lie, man, what are you saying for? What are you chatting? Then you say, I swear by Allah. You know, children often swear, I swear by Allah. And Rasulullah said, for wallahi, I swear by Allah, mal faqru akhsha alaykum. I'm not afraid of poverty for you. And that if you become poor, where will you eat? Where will you sleep? Where will you live? And you will become poor, you will be ruined. No, for wallahi, mal faqru akhsha alaykum, walakinni akhsha an tubsata alaykum ad-dunya kama busitat ala man kana qablakum fatanafasuha kama tanafasuha fatuhlikakum kama ahlakatuhum. The Prophet said, I'm afraid of rich, of wealth over you, that if you become wealthy, Allah opens dunya upon you like He did on the people before you, then you will run after it like they ran after it. It will ruin you like it ruined them. So people think this is thing, Allah is interested in these things. Allah is not interested in this. This doesn't impress Allah. What impresses Allah is the piety, purity, sincerity, humility in the hearts. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ سُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ مُوَالِكُمْ. Don't show Allah your bank balance. Good for you, mashallah. May Allah give you more if Allah has given anyone. But this doesn't impress Allah. Allah doesn't look at your wealth and your faces, how good looking you are, how fair your complexion is. Allah looks at the purity, sincerity of the heart. What's in here? يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. If you got iman in here, in here, iman isn't on the tongue and in the mind and other places. Iman is here. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah deep roots iman in the hearts. The hearts become enlightened with the noor of iman. And the Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah, had the purest of the hearts. أَبَرَّهَا قُلُوبًا وَآمَقَهَا عِلْمًا وَأَقَلَّا تَكَلُّفًا. Purest of the hearts, the deepest of the knowledge, and the best of all goodness Allah put in his hearts. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. Iman became most dearest to them. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. And it enlightened and beautified their hearts. وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانِ. As a result, all disobedience to Allah, kufr, fisq and fusuq and isyan, and it became despised, hateful in their eyes. They hated disobeying Allah. They hated anything Allah hated. And they always sought the pleasure of Allah. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. They always long to seek the pleasure and happiness of Allah. ذَلِكَ مَثَلٌ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ. And this is the example Allah gave of them in Torah. And just as the Jews and the Christians used to recognize Rasulullah like their own children. You have no doubt he's your son. You've seen him born in your house, grow up in your house, spend the days and nights in front of you. So you know he's your son. Similarly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Jewish scholars and the Christian priests used to recognize him instantly the moment they would see him. He is Rasulullah. And not only recognize Rasulullah, they would also recognize Abu Bakr and know he is the man who is destined to be the first person to believe upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only Abu Bakr, they would know Umar as well. And they would know this is the man who is going to capture Jerusalem. They would know Abu Bakr, he is the man who will be the first person to believe in Rasulullah. The man who is destined to be Khatamun Nabiyeen, Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. But now people have the audacity, they bark at these noble souls. They bark at these noble souls and they say, Abu Bakr na'uzu billah is a kafir, Umar na'uzu billah is a kafir. These are not just emotional rants and accusations. Shia books are filled with such filth and kufr. Anyway, I was saying, Khadija radiallahu anha, she was the first wife of Rasulullah. And as long as she remained alive, Rasulullah didn't get a second wife. He was 25 when he married her. He lived through his youth, through his middle age, until he became old with one woman. With one woman. Then Allah gave him otherwise. Because in the beginning in Makkatul Mukarma, it was all about Iman and preaching. When Rasulullah moved to Medina, then all different ahkam rulings came. Ummat needed to know these. So Allah honored Rasulullah. Allah blessed him. And Allah had a favor upon the Ummah by allowing many other women to share the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life so that they can pass on his personal life to the ummah. And amongst them, mashallah, Aisha, Hafsa radiallahu anhuma, and then Hazrat Sauda, Umm Salma, Umm Habiba, and Jawariya, Zainab bint Jahsh, Zainab bint Khuzaima, and Maimuna and Jawariya radiallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'een. They all came into the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. So as long as Khadija remained alive, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't marry. But after him, after her, she married other women. He married other women as well. So she was his first wife, and as long as she remained alive, Rasulullah didn't get a second wife. When Rasulullah married other women, they had to share Rasulullah. But Khadija had Rasulullah all to herself. And many years, even after she passed away, and Rasulullah had other wives. Wives like Aisha radiallahu anha. The Prophet was asked, Ya Rasulullah, Ayyun nasi habbu ilayk? Who do you love the most? Rasulullah said, Aisha. Then the Sahabi says, Min ar-rijali, Ya Rasulullah. What I meant was from the men. The Prophet said, Abuha, her father. The Prophet loved her dearly, but she would have her turn with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, the Prophet loved her so dearly, and she had such a special relationship with Rasulullah. Once Rasulullah said to her, "Oh Aisha, would you not like if you were to die before me?" She said, "Ya Rasulullah, you know when people are very close to you, they're very frank as well." And the Prophet said to her, Aisha, would you not like if you were to die before me? Ya Rasulullah, why do I want to die before you? The Prophet said, if you were to die before me, I would pray janazah over you and lower you in your grave, then pray for your forgiveness. Wouldn't you like that? She said, well, Ya Rasulullah, if I was to die before you, all you would do is to get another woman to sleep in my bed. Can you imagine saying that to Rasulullah? That's a special relationship and bond she had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But even she had Rasulullah once a week or so. But whenever Rasulullah would remember Hazrat Khadija, it would bring tears to the Prophet's eyes. And once as Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, you still haven't forgotten that old woman. And the Prophet said, oh Aisha, when I had nothing, I had no one, she accepted me. She accepted me. When I had nothing, she put everything in my service. And when people were rejecting me, she accepted me. And she put everything in my service. And Allah gave me children through her. She is the mother of all my children. All of the Prophet's children, with the exception of Ibrahim, were born through Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. All his sons, Qasim, and Abdullah, or Tahir, and Tayyib, and all the Prophet's daughters, Zainab, Ruqayya, Umme Kulthum, and Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anhunna, they were all daughters of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. But anyway, Allahu Akbar. Her family, the Prophet's family. The Prophet's family doesn't begin with a daughter. You know, your family, when you're a family man, what does your family begin with? Your sons? Where do the sons come? They fall from the sky? Somebody came to Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddis Dervi Rahmahullah, and then he said, Hazrat, make dua, Allah give me a son. Ya Allah, give me a son. One day, 2 days, 3 days, Hazrat, make dua, Allah give me a son. Hazrat said, are you married? He said, well, if I was married, I wouldn't be coming to you, would I? So your family begins with who? Your wife. Where do you get your son? You buy him on the street? Your son comes? If you have daughters, how did they come to your house? Through your wife. Allah blesses people as a family. The first thing is, your family, mashallah, you are part of your father's family, but your family begins with your wife. The day you get married, before marriage, you known as a bachelor. Bachelor. People say single, but they're special. You can be married, divorced, or a widower and be single as well. But someone who's not been married before, he's not just single, he's a bachelor. But once you are married man, mashallah, then you're a family man. And then people take your family, wife, mashallah, wife. Allah says in the Quran, Hunna libasul lakum antum libasul lahunna. They are your garments, you are their garments. Just as a man without clothes, you'll go out on the street without clothes. How would you feel? The flab sticking out and wherever, mashallah. But you wear a nice suit, mashallah, nice jubba. Put on a nice pagdi, mashallah. You look a nice, handsome young man. One day you're wearing one dress, another one, you're just coming from a wedding. Many people go to wedding as though it's their own wedding. MashaAllah, they look smart. And Allahu Akbar, Hunna libasul lakum, but without clothes, all the flab and everything is visible. You look like an old man, whatever. MashaAllah, but nice suit, nice clothes, you look smart. Every different day, MashaAllah, different clothes, you look different. MashaAllah. So with a wife, she is your garment, your wife, your life. Her life is good with a wife. What's a life without wife? So that's why in Jannat, you won't have just one wife. Allah will give you many wives. And if there are sisters listening, they don't need to get jealous. In Jannat, they won't be jealous. Allah will look after everyone. Everything will be sorted in Jannat. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلْ. Whatever bad thoughts, desires might be, then there will be nothing bad in Jannat. Not even bad thoughts. All hatred and everything will be removed. Everybody will be clean through and through. Allahu Akbar. So a family begins with a wife. Rasulullah's family doesn't begin with Fatima radiallahu anha. Rasulullah's family begins with his wives. Initially Khadija radiallahu anha. And then all other wives of Rasulullah are his family. Some people think that the family of Rasulullah is only Ali, only Fatima, only Hassan and Hussein. Yes, they are family of Rasulullah radiyallahu anhu ajma'in, but that's not all the family of Rasulullah. Rasulullah's family in the Quran, Ahlul Bayt, starts at the end of the 21st sipara, last ruku, carries on to the 22nd sipara. Allah is talking to the wives of Rasulullah, Ahlul Bayt. All the wives of Rasulullah are his family, are his Ahlul Bayt. Many people think, some of you might not understand what I mean by many people. The Shias, they think and they are trying to deceive and fool and corrupt and mislead. Many Muslims, Sunni Muslims, simple-minded. In English they say simple Simons. You use that word here as well? Simple Simons. Brother, don't talk about controversy. They read Kalima as well. They read Quran. They go to Hajj. And they go to Umrah, they build masjids as well. They can do what they like. There are many a people, they say, Wamin an nasi. Allah says, I'm not a mufti, I don't give fatwas. You want fatwa, see Mufti Khalid Saab. Now, mashallah, you got very, very prominent, high-ranking muftis in South Africa, alhamdulillah, who are looked up to as muftis, grand muftis from all over the world, mashallah. Mufti Ibrahim Desai, may Allah bless him. Mufti Zubair Bayat and others, mashallah. Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, mashallah, and many other grand muftis there. I am not a mufti. But this is not my fatwa. I'm only quoting Allah's fatwa. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. There are many people, they say we believe in Allah, we believe in the Akhirat, but Allah says, Allah, the one who knows, عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Now what you say with your tongue, many a time people say with their tongues, what is not really in their hearts. You know, many a time our tablighi brothers on their gusht. Do you have tablighi brothers doing gusht there? Huh? They go on a gusht, they knock on the door. The father says to son, go and tell him I'm not home. Children are innocent, they say, my father says he's not home. Many a times people say with their tongues, at 12 o'clock at night you get a phone call. And the moment you hear the bell ring, man, who the hell is he? What does he think? Does he look at the time? I've got to go to work tomorrow morning. Don't worry about Fajr. Got to go to work tomorrow morning at 12 o'clock at night. Then, hello. Oh, man, no, so nice to hear you, guy. I was thinking about you all day today. Deep in his heart, he's saying, what? Look at the time, man. But he's saying, oh, so nice to hear your voice. I've been thinking about you all day. But Allah knows what you hold in your hearts. So these people who make claim, we believe in Allah, we believe in Rasulullah. إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. We believe, we bear witness, you are Rasulullah. Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ. Allah knows you are His Rasul. وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. Allah says, I bear witness, these hypocrites, they are liars. And these people who claim to believe in Allah and Akhirat, Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. They are not believers. Why? Because Allah says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ. When they are told to believe like people believe, here annas means the companions of Rasulullah. Those who were sincere with Rasulullah. Rasulullah, many a times, mashallah, people want to accept Islam, people bring him in. Maulana Sahib, Imam Sahib, please. This man wants to take a shahada. Please introduce him to Islam and make him read Kalima. Somebody might read Kalima at the hands of Imam Sahib, Mufti Sahib, Maulana Sahib, Imam Sahib. Can you imagine the good fortune of those who read Kalima at the hands of Muhammadur Rasulullah? So Allah says, their iman is dear to me. Allah says, I know what's in their hearts. Allah has looked into their hearts, deep in their hearts. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. Allah judged their hearts and found them to be pure. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Promised them forgiveness and immense reward. And Allah made their iman standard. You know what standard means? The benchmark. You want to be classified as a believer, compare your iman to their iman. Aminu, believe like them. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ. And what do these people, they say? They say, أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. You want us to believe like these fools? When children have an argument in the playground, or just when the families get together, even when they have an argument, and somebody says, your mother's so-and-so. What does the other one say? Your mother's 10 times so and so. If somebody says to somebody's mother, your mother's, you know, unpleasant word, what does he say? Your mother's brilliant, she's good. No, whatever he says, he multiplies it by 10. Your father's so and so, your father's 10 times so and so. So Allah Rabbul Alameen is very sensitive when he comes to the companions of Rasulullah. The people who call them fools, Allah said, Ala innahum humusufaha. Let them be aware, they are the ones who are fools. They are the ones who are fools. They said in another verse in the Quran, Surah Munafiqun, Munafiqs are who? One of the traits or some of the traits of Munafiqs, their qualities, and they look down upon Sahaba. And they insult Sahaba, they degrade Sahaba. In the eyes of Allah, even though they claim to believe in Allah and Rasulullah and Akhirat, but Allah says they are munafiqs, humul aduvu fahdharhum. They are your enemies, so remain aware of them. Be cautious of them. Be mindful of them. Be alert. Don't let them catch you off guard. Don't let them catch you and target you and deceive you and fool you and cheat you. Humul aduvu fahdharhum. They aren't your friends. They are your enemies. قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ. May Allah destroy them wherever they may be. And this is Allah's fatwa. And the other thing they say, لَإِن رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ. When we get back to Medina, we will throw out these disgraceful people. So those who consider Sahaba disgraceful, in the eyes of Allah, they are munafiqs. وَإِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. And these munafiqs will be in the lowest part of Jahannam. The lowest part of Jahannam. So people who are critical of Sahaba, they might read Kalima, they might build a place and call it a masjid. Reality, they are temples. They are not masjids, they are temples. You might say, how dare you call such a place a temple? People, such people, munafiqs, they built a place and they called it a masjid. You know, like people build masjids, you call, mashallah, special people to come and open them, opening ceremony. Sometimes they call Imam of Haram, sometimes big Mufti sahab, mashallah, to come and do an opening ceremony. These munafiqs, they wanted Rasulullah to come and perform the opening ceremony. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, we built a masjid, please come and pray in here. So that Rasulullah will endorse that masjid by praying in it. And the Prophet was going to Tabuk. The Prophet promised them, when I come back, I will see. Allah said, no, no, no! La taqum fihi abada! Oh my beloved Prophet, I forbid you never, never, you are never allowed to go and pray in that masjid. They called it a masjid. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا دِرَارًا وَكُفْرًا وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَإِرْصَادًا لِمَنْ حَارَبَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ وَلَا يَحْلِفُنَّ إِنْ أَرَدْنَا إِلَّا الْحُسْنَى. They swear. They take oath. We mean only good. We swear. We want only goodness. We want unity. You want unity? And they are hypocrites. Allah says, وَلَا يَحْلِفُنَّ بِاللَّهِ نِرَادْنَا إِلَّا الْحُسْنَى وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. Allah says, I'm telling you they are liars. They don't want unity. In the community, they want division. They want to mislead you, corrupt you, fool you. They want to lead you astray. So, لَا تَقُمْ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. Never pray in that masjid. You are not allowed to go and pray in that masjid. They are calling it a masjid, but you are not allowed to go and pray in there. So people, they might even call their temples masjids. They might even read Quran. But Shias don't believe in this Quran to be the real Quran. Their belief is that the real Quran was 17,000 verses. It's in a book, Usul-e-Kafi. Their fundamental, one of their original books. That their Quran, Al-Quran, Ja'a bihi Jibreel. The Quran Jibreel brought upon Rasulullah. 17,000. How many verses in the Quran? The one you recite? 6,000 and so. And if it was 17,000, how much is missing? Almost two-thirds. So they said 2/3 is missing. So where is the missing Quran? Sahaba, they distorted. They got rid of it. Allah says in the Quran, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun." I have revealed this dhikr, implying the Quran, and I will definitely look after it and protect it. When Quran used to be revealed, have you ever seen children trying to do hifz, memorize? What do they do? Again and again, by repetition, each ayat they repeat 20, 30, 50, 100 times. When children become hafiz, when they are 10, 12, or when they are 50, 60? When they are 10, 12, easy to memorize. Anybody try to become a hafiz, start at the age of 40? Not impossible, but difficult. Not impossible. There is a man, mashallah, in London. His name is Haji Usman Ghani. He's, mashallah, elderly Memon guy, mashallah. We spent chilla with him many years ago in Turkey. He started becoming a hafiz when he was about 60, 65. Last year I met his nephew and he said, "Alhamdulillah, my uncle became a hafiz just this year and where he is from India, in Gujarat, Kathiawad." And he said, he, mashallah, after becoming a hafiz at the age of 75, he did the dawood for the whole town, mashallah, because he became a hafiz at the age of 75. But that's not the norm, the exception, one in a million, mashallah. But normally children start becoming a hafiz at the age of five, six, seven. Somebody was telling me, the Sheikh, rahimahullah, when he came here, his daughter was hafiz when she was 6 years old, mashallah. And anyway, when Allah started sending revelation to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah would hasten to repeat what Jibreel was saying quickly, so that it would be committed to his memory, so that he can tell the people afterwards what he has received in terms of revelation. Allah said, no, my dear Prophet, don't say, وَلَا تَعْجَلْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن يُقْضَى إِلَيْكَ وَحْيُ. Don't hasten with Quran to complete the revelation. لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ. Don't move your tongue. And just relax, just listen. سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. I will teach you in such a way you will never forget. إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمَعَهُ وَقُرْآنَ. Propagation of Quran is not your responsibility. That's my responsibility, Allah says. إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمَعَهُ وَقُرْآنَ. So Allah is... protection, propagation of Quran is whose responsibility? Allah's. And Allah has declared it in the Quran. Now this is my word, I will look after it, I will propagate it safely. When you open the Quran, the very first page, Alif Lam Mim, Zalikal Kitabu, La Raiba Fi. You know what La Raiba Fi means? There is absolutely no doubt in it whatsoever. Not an iota. You know what iota means? Very, very little. Even the slightest doubt in any S. Every, not word, and not just even every vowel. You know, zabar, zair, pesh? Zalika. That zalika. That zabar, zair, pesh is divinely protected under the protection of Allah. Every vowel of every letter, of every word, of every ayat, under the divine protection of Allah, cannot go astray. There were some verses. Shia, they say, look, Sahaba, it's written in your Sunni books. That there were verses, they were then left out. They were left out because Allah has already said in the Quran, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا. There will be verses, Allah said, I will abrogate and I will make you forget. مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا. Allah will make you forget those verses. Why? Because Allah wants them forgotten. But the ones which Allah does not want forgotten, they were kept. And the Quran, every word, every vowel of every letter, of every word, of every ayat, is under divine protection. This is what Quran says. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. There is no doubt in it. But Shias, they say, it's full of corruption. Not just doubt. It's been distorted, it's been tempered, it's been corrupted. So those who don't believe in Allah's word, isn't Allah's word good enough? If Allah's word is not good enough, then how can you claim to be a Muslim? People say, don't call them kafir. Why? Because they read the Quran. Well, if they read the Quran, why don't they trust what Allah is saying? Why don't they trust what Rasulullah said? If that's not good enough for them, your sympathy is more with these people than with what Allah and His Rasul have said. Where is your iman? You want to sympathize with those who curse Abu Bakr? Don't call these people kafir. Why? Because they read kalima. Didn't Abu Bakr read kalima? Didn't Hazrat Umar read kalima? Didn't Aisha read kalima? Didn't she pray? Didn't Abu Bakr used to pray in the masjid? Didn't Abu Bakr, wasn't he imam of the masjid of Rasulullah? Many sunnats, mashallah, you keep beards, miswak, eat with the right hand, topi, pagdi, jubba, mashallah, nice sunnats. Everybody can do these, can mashallah, follow these sunnats. But there is one sunnat, in that as long as Rasulullah was alive, only one man had the honor of fulfilling that sunnat. Many people say, anybody, you know, Maulvi sahab, mashallah, anybody can lead the salat. Leading salat is no ordinary affair. As long as Rasulullah was alive, only Rasulullah led people in salat. Except one other man. In the Prophet's presence. Only Abu Bakr had that honor when Rasulullah was ill. Thursday was the last salat Rasulullah led himself before he passed away. He passed away Monday morning, mid-morning. Thursday evening, Maghrib was the last salat Rasulullah led. Those who've been to Medina, how many of you been to Medina? You've seen where the minbar of Rasulullah is. If you imagine to be there, Rasulullah's grave is about there. From there to there, Rasulullah couldn't come, even being carried by two people. He felt so weak. And when Rasulullah was unable to come to the Musalla to lead Salat himself, who did Rasulullah say? Hazrat Ali said, I was around, I wasn't absent, I was healthy, I wasn't ill, but Rasulullah didn't demand and command me. He commanded who? The Prophet said, Muru Abu Bakr an yusalli bin nas. Tell Abu Bakr to lead you in Salat. Rasulullah is present, observing, watching, wanting Abu Bakr to stand on his place. To lead people in salat. So Abu Bakr was appointed by Rasulullah. Didn't Rasulullah know Abu Bakr is not a true believer? You have sympathy with these people who curse Abu Bakr and Umar and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and the rest of the companions. Don't call them kafirs. Well, they have the audacity to call the man Rasulullah trusted and appointed in his place. They call him kafir. Rasulullah said, if there was to be another prophet after me, it would be Umar. Didn't Umar read kalima? When Hazrat Umar became Muslim, embraced Islam, Jibreel came, Ya Rasulullah, are you happy that Umar has become a Muslim? The Prophet said, I'm very happy. Jibreel said, Ya Rasulullah, all the angels are happy at the Islam of Umar. لقد كان فيما قبلكم من الأمم محدثون فإن يكن أحد في أمتي فإنه عمر. There were many people in the nations before Allah used to talk to. They weren't prophets, but Allah just liked talking to them. And the Prophet said, if there's any such man in my ummah, it is Umar. The Prophet said, I have two advisors, two in the heavens, two on earth. My advisors in the heavens, Jibreel, Mikael, my left and right hand man, as though, as we say in modern terms, my advisors on earth is Abu Bakr and Umar. So didn't the Prophet know who he was taking advice from? The Prophet knew. The Prophet knew, Allah knew, Allah blessed. Everybody else, it's nice when everybody came, but the Prophet prayed, Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah, if you want to honor Islam, Ya Allah, please honor Islam with either Amr bin Hisham or Umar ibn Khattab. Ya Allah, honor Islam with Umar. Allah accepted Rasulullah's dua. Allah gave Rasulullah. The Prophet requested Umar. He demanded, he prayed for Umar, Ya Allah, give me Umar. Allah gave Rasulullah Umar as a special present, as a special bodyguard, as a special envoy, as a special servant. Allah, the Prophet demanded, requested, prayed for Umar. Allah accepted his beloved Prophet's dua. Wasn't Umar a Muslim? Didn't he read kalima? Didn't he used to come to masjid? Didn't he do hajj? Then why do people call him a kafir? Na'uzubillah. And people, you think, what is he talking about? Look on YouTube, you will see people, these people, they're cursing Umar radiallahu anhu. They're cursing Aisha radiallahu anhu. anha, cursing Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, anhu, and all sorts. And your sympathies are with these people and not with the people that Allah sympathizes with. Many a time people do something wrong. Somebody says, you know, somebody, Haji Sahib, you know, Maulvi Sahib, please, my son, he comes home late nowadays. I don't know where he's staying out. Maulvi Sahib will say, may Allah guide him. Is that what you say sometimes? Huh? Have you ever heard that? Somebody does something wrong, you say, please make dua, may Allah guide him. He doesn't listen to his mother. He answers back. He shouts at her, may Allah guide him. You know, he's married, he's got children, he doesn't look after them. May Allah guide him. Is that what you do? Are you sleeping or are you listening? Huh? Then, but there's one sin. You don't say, may Allah guide them. It's not my fatwa. Like I said, I'm not a mufti. I don't give fatwas. I only quote Allah's fatwas and Rasulullah's fatwas. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatul lil alameen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he's taught us to honor other Muslims. So much so, don't insult another Muslim. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. A Muslim is someone from whose tongue and hands other Muslims are safe. Rasulullah had only one opportunity to address large gathering, 100,000 plus. And Rasulullah didn't give a long lecture. You know when? Hajjatul Wida. Normally in Medina, there will be few hundred people given any time. And you pick up books of ahadith. Ahadith is Rasulullah's lectures and advices. Hadiths, short, 2, 3, 4 lines. Many hadiths are long because Sahaba say a lot happened in between. But what Rasulullah used to say used to be very little often. There was only one time ever in 23 years, one day, only one day. Sahaba said, the Prophet led us in Fajr. He sat on the minbar. Then from Fajr till Dhuhr, he gave khutbah. He gave a sermon. Then he stopped for Dhuhr. Then after he prayed Dhuhr, then after he sat on the minbar again, and then he gave another sermon till Asr. Then he stopped for Asr, prayed Asr. Then he sat on the minbar again, gave khutbah till Maghrib. Then he stopped for Maghrib, and then prayed Maghrib, sat on the minbar again, and gave a talk and sermon till Isha. And he said, the Sahaba say, he didn't leave anything out. Whosoever remembered, so remembered. Man hafidhahu faqad hafidhahu wa man nasiya faqad nasiya. Whoso remembered, so remembered. Who forgot, so forgot. But that was only one day. Hajjatul Wida, 100,000 people plus. You know, when there's a big gathering, Maulvi Sahib, he doesn't want to stop. Then please, 5 minutes left. But Rasulullah had one opportunity in whole life to address 100,000 people. You know how long Rasulullah spoke? Not even 10 minutes. Not even 10 minutes. Khutbatul Wida printed one page. In many of masjids, you might have seen the Prophet's farewell sermon. You know what he said in there? In that farewell sermon, Rasulullah didn't speak about his family. Look after Fatima after me, Hassan, Hussein and others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh you people, what month is this? What land is this? What day is this? People said the day of Arafah in the month of Zilhajjah. And the Prophet said, be aware that it is your honor and the wealth of other Muslims is haram upon you. كَيَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا. Like the sanctity of this place, in this day, in this month, in this place. So don't insult another Muslim. Don't degrade another Muslim. Don't abuse another Muslim. Don't hurt another Muslim. And don't... Now that's what, as far as the Khutbatul Wida goes. In another hadith, the Prophet said, don't ever call another Muslim a kafir. إذا قال الرجل لأخي يا كافر فقد باء بها أحدهما. When a man calls his brother, you should regard another Muslim as a brother. But instead of calling him a brother, you're calling him a kafir. The Prophet said فقد باء بأحدهما. It becomes binding on at least one of them. وإن كان كما قال وإلا رجع علي. If it is as you have said, okay, otherwise it will come back to you. من دعا رجلا بالكفر أو قال عدو الله وليس كذلك إلا حار عليه أي رجع عليه. When a man calls his brother a kafir or calls him an enemy of Allah and it's not like that, then he comes back at him. Rasulullah has forbidden people from calling other Muslims a kafir. And the people who Allah says in the Quran, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّ. You know what that means? They are as good a believers as anybody can ever be. And these people have the audacity to call them kafirs. Call them Abu Bakr, as Umar, Aisha, Hafsa. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِي. When you see people cursing my sahaba, then don't say may Allah guide you. When brothers have a fight or somebody else insults someone, you can say may Allah guide you. May Allah open your heart. May Allah open your eyes. May Allah guide you. But when you see people insulting and swearing at my sahaba, then don't say may Allah guide you. Say فَقُولُوا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ شَرِّكُمْ. Allah's curse be upon you, evil. You are nothing but evil through and through. Many people Allah curses in the Quran. Allah is Ar-Rahmanur Rahim. What is, who is Allah? Bismillah. Bismillah. Ar-Rahmanur Rahim. It is Hadith Qudsi. Allah says, Inna rahmati sabaqat ala ghadabi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah created his arsh, Allah wrote in front of his arsh, Inna rahmati sabaqat ala ghadabi. My rahmat will always be dominant over my anger. Not that Allah doesn't get angry. When Allah gets angry, Allah gets angry. You know, when someone's angry, you know the complexion changes. His face becomes red, his eyes become red. He couldn't do anything. When Allah gets angry, Allah gets angry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his du'as, Rasulullah has stated, Allahumma inni a'udhu bi ridaka min sakhatik. Ya Allah, I seek refuge in your pleasure from your anger. Allahumma inni a'udhu bi ridaka min ghadabik. Ya Allah, I seek refuge in your pleasure from anger. If Allah becomes angry, where are you going to run? Any place you can hide? No place in the universe you can hide. So Allah doesn't say run from Allah. Allah says fafirru ilallah. Run towards Allah. Where are you going to run from Allah? Have you ever seen small children? Not the 4-5 year old. They become crafty. The 2 year, 1.5, 2 year old. When the mother wants to smack them, what does he do? Run away? No, the more the mother shouts or he hits him, he clings more to the mother. Because he knows where is he going to run. Everything is with the mother, so he doesn't try running from the mother. Have you ever seen that? But the 5-6 year old, now they can run, so they run. But this one, he doesn't know, he's innocent. He is still innocent. The other one is also innocent, but he's becoming crafty now. So likewise, Allah says, don't run from Allah, run. Fafirru ilallah, run towards Allah. Allah is Ar-Rahmanur Rahim. Allah is the most merciful. There is no one more merciful than Allah. Allah is prepared to forgive all your sins. In Bani Israel, a man committed 99 murders. Today we went to a prison. Some people in for murder. Some people life sentence, so on and so on. Bani Israel, 99 murders. But then thought came in his heart. This is no good, man. If I die, what's going to happen? I don't want to go to hell. So he said, he went to see somebody. What do you think, man? He go, you, man, you got no hope in hell. You going straight to hell. Well, he said, if I'm going to hell, I'm taking you with me. 100 not out. Hashim Amla, mashallah. 100 not out. But subhanallah then, but he was worried. So he went to see another man with knowledge. What do you think, man? Is there any hope? Yeah, there's definitely hope for you. But you know what? You need to change your company. Where you are, bad people. You're going to go and spend some time with good people. And this is why, you know, they say go in Jamaat. MashaAllah, good people. They're going around, good people, good company, good mahal. So he said to him, go with these people. They are good people, pious people. When you make tawbah with them, Allah will forgive you. He was going en route. His time came. Time was up. The angels came. Angels of mercy, angel of adab. You all heard the story? Started arguing. The angels of punishment said, we're going to take him. He's so bad. The other said, no, he was sincere. He would repented. What do you mean repented? Even when he was on his way, he started to hit another one. He wanted to complete a century. And so we taken him. And they started arguing.
One angel went to Allah to ask for a decision. Allah said, measure the distance. From where he's left to where he's come, from where he is to where he's going. But Allah knew he's more long, he's just started. He's got a long way to go. So he says in hadith, and then Allah commanded this one, he's just been to stretch, and the other one, he's got a long way to go to come together, shrink. So when the angels measured, they didn't know. So they just measured up. So as soon as they measured up, they realized he's covered more distance. They're shocked. So the angel of mercy took him. 100 murders, he was sincere, Allah forgave him. Allah is forgiving. Allah loves to forgive. As Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, if I'm lucky enough to find Laylatul Qadr, what dua should I make? The Prophet said, oh Aisha, read this dua. You know, many times you close to some big maulana, some big sheikh, some buzurg, some special wazifa. Khususi dua. Khususi dua mein yaad. Khususi, you know, special advice. As Musa alayhi salam said to Allah as well, Ya Allah, give me some special advice, special zikr, special wazifa. Allah said, oh Musa, say, La ilaha illallah. As Aisha was very dear to Rasulullah, so she said, Ya Rasulullah, what dua shall I make? Rasulullah said, oh Aisha, make this dua. Allahumma innaka afuwan tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Ya Allah, you are forgiving. You love forgiving, so forgive me. Allah loves forgiving. Allah likes to forgive. Many a times people repent, and when they repent, Allah doesn't just forgive their sins. Allah says in the Quran, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. And when people repent, they believe, they start doing good deeds, Allah changes their sins into good deeds. Rasulullah mentioned the day, on the day of Qiyamah, somebody will come. Somebody very sinful. Allah will summon him. When Allah will summon him, Allah will enshroud him with cover. So that his affairs are personal between Allah and him. So that nobody else knows. Allah will say to him, I've covered up for you dunya. You were very sinful. People didn't know how sinful you were. People don't know how sinful we are. If people begin to know, and your wife knows what you're thinking when you go into her, what you really thinking, she'll chuck you out of home. You come here, mashallah, everybody sees Maulana sahab, Sufi sahab, but if people know what you were thinking, this man, may Allah save us from him. So Allah says, I've covered up for you in dunya, I will cover up for you here. But listen, you did this in dunya, you did this. You did this on so and so day, so and so place. He'll have no option. Ya Allah, ya. Ya Allah, that was me, all right. And you did this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Allah will start counting all he did. The man will start sweating. I'm doomed. Allah will say, I've covered up for you dunya, in dunya, and I've covered up for you here. But don't worry. Hey, listen, go. For every sin you have I've counted, I'll give you good reward. And then the man will say, Ya Allah, there's plenty more where that came from. Rasulullah started smiling and said, this remark will make Allah smile as well. Now he was sweating, thinking he's doomed. But now at the moment Allah said, I'll forgive you, not only forgive you, but in place of every sin you committed, I'll give you reward. Now he's saying, Ya Allah, I've done more. Allah is prepared to forgive everything. Doesn't matter, doesn't bother Allah. Ya ibn Adam, hadith Qudsi, Allah says, Ya ibn Adam, لَوْ بَلَغَتُ ذُنُوبُكَ عَنَانَ السَّمَاءِ. O you son of Adam, if your sins were to pile up to the heavens, غَفَرْتُ لَا يَا بْنَ آدَمْ لَوْ بَلَغَتْ ذُنُوبُكَ عَنَانَ السَّمَاءِ ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنْكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. And then you seek forgiveness from me, you say istighfar, Ya Allah, forgive me. Allah says, I'll forgive you, doesn't bother me, don't bother me. يَا بْنَ آدَمْ لَوْ أَتَيْتَنِي بِقُرَابِ الْأَرْضِ خَطَايَا لَا تُشْرِكُ بِي شَيْئًا. If you come to me with sins equivalent to the grain of sands in all the deserts and beaches, providing you haven't committed shirk, then Allah says, I will welcome you. لَا أَتَيْتُكَ بِقُرَابِهَا مَغْفِرًا. I will welcome you with even more forgiveness. Sins, don't bother me what you've done. Just seek forgiveness from me. Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah inna allaha yaghfiru adh-dhunuba jami'a. Those who wrong themselves, don't worry, don't despair. Just come to me, seek forgiveness. I'll forgive all your sins. Inna allaha yaghfiru adh-dhunuba jami'a. It's not that Allah doesn't get angry. Allah does get angry, but Allah's anger
Not like many of us. You go home, have an argument, you came from work, and the missus, she was struggling with your son, with your daughter, cleaning up, or just she wasn't feeling too good, she didn't prepare the lunch. What have you been doing all day? Sleeping? I'm coming home more tired and knackered, and there's no food in the prepared. I just didn't get the time. Make it yourself. What? Make it myself. Go home. Talak, talak, talak. And then when the anger cools down, and then the wife is not prepared to make it. Now you've given a talak, so you have to go out and buy from the takeaway something. And then when you buy chips or something and come home, the kadi khichdi is not there. And then whatever, then you calm down. The anger is cooled down. Maulana sahab, you know, please, I had serious issues happened. What's happened, man? I gave my wife 3 talaq. You know, is there something for me? Can you find me a masala? You got many books in there. There must be something for me. There was plenty, but if you had learned before, if you come to Maulvi sahab before doing this, that's why any young man not yet married, or even anybody married, first opportunity, go to Maulvi sahab and learn the masala of talaq. Otherwise, you should say it and regret it for the rest of your lives. Especially when children are involved. So can you imagine somebody, but Maulana, I was angry. I didn't mean it. I say, I have yet to see somebody who says, goes home and his wife has prepared a nice meal. She's dressed up as well, mashallah, made up everything. Just to, darling, you're looking so good. I love you so much. I give you talaq. Have you ever seen anyone say that? No, it doesn't happen that way. Anger, argument, what happens? You fire away. And then you, because you were, Maulana, I was angry. Yeah, it happens in anger. This is why, this is something which happens in anger, takes effect. I didn't mean it. Doesn't matter if you meant it or not meant it. You did it. Now be man enough to own up. It's your fault, your ignorance for not learning before. This is why when you start driving, you know, when you people start learning to drive, the young man, they're especially interested in the right pedal. Woof, woof. But the instructor, no, the middle one is the important one. You got to learn to brake. You got to learn to know where the brakes are. So you got to learn to know. Before you get into the relationship, what gets out of the relationship? Spur of the moment. But Maulana, you know, there was no witness as well. Doesn't matter. To be, for a nikah to be valid, there must be 2 witnesses as well. But for a talaq, one guy sent his wife talaq on a text message, but she didn't want to switch the phone on, so she didn't get it, but I didn't get it. Doesn't matter. The moment you press that send button with talaq, 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 she's done and dusted. She's history. Even if she doesn't get it, no witnesses, no problem. It's effective. Learn the issue of the. But Maulana, you know, Islam is not that, you know, it's not that light. Islam serious stuff. Yeah, this is serious stuff. Talaq is very, very serious. And if you say it 3 times in every language, what does 3 mean? You lent someone £3,000 in one go and he wants to pay you back. You're going to accept 1,000 or you want 3,000? What do you think? 3 means 3 in every language. Only one language in which 3 means 1. That's Christianity. God is 3, Father, Son, Holy Spirit is 1. In every other language of the world, 3 means 3. If you give her 3 shots, that's it. 3 talaqs, done, dusted. People say, but no, there's a sahih hadith. And he says, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu said that we used to think in the time of Rasulullah and Abu Bakr, beginning of the Umar's time, 3 talaqs in one sitting was regarded as 1. He used to think it was regarded as 1, wasn't 1. 3 always meant 3. But 20 years ago in Saudi Arabia, Bin Baz was still alive, rahimahullah. Big problem in many parts of the world. 3 talaqs in one sitting, they tell you, we are Hanafis, whatever, but when it comes to talaq, they run to the Salafi brothers. And this because they say 3 in one sitting is 1. Bit like what the other people say, 3 is 1. And so in Saudi Arabia, big problem. And in the 1980s, the Saudi Ministry of Religious Affairs, they sanctioned a committee, 40 of the top ulama. 40 of the top ulama. And they didn't just pick up Bukhari, Muslim one day. Okay, let's get to look for the Dalil. 3 years. How many? 3 years solid discussions, meeting, arguments, debates, and thorough analysis of all the evidence. How many Maulvi Sahabs? 40 of the top scholars in Saudi Arabia. After 3 years of thorough research, analysis, and mashallah, debating, discussion, they concluded anybody who gives his wife 3 divorces in one sitting will be considered as 3 and not as 1. It's not just a Hanafi fatwa from Deoband. It's fatwa unanimously accepted in the presence of Umar radiallahu anhu. That 3 will be regarded as 3 and not as 1. Nobody challenged that fatwa. Nobody challenged that consensus, ijma, not even Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. If it was 1, then he would have spoken out, Amirul Mu'mineen, come on, be fair. In the time of Rasulullah, it was 1. So how can you say it's 3? No, not a single soul spoke out. So meaning 3 in every language is? So if anybody goes home, says to his wife, talaq, 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 it means talaq, 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 and not just talaq. You understand? Allahu Akbar. So I was saying, if Allah was to get angry, like people get angry, they do things they regret for the rest of their lives. If Allah was to get angry, lose control of himself, if Allah was to become angry, there'll be no, Allah would just throw. You know, when people get angry, they go home and just, whatever comes in their mind, they just push away. If Allah was to just push the earth a little bit close to the sun, everything will be roasted instantly. And Allah was to push just the planets together and collide, what will happen? Devastation, destruction, chaos. So Allah does get angry, but Allah doesn't allow his anger to get the better of him. Why? Allah is merciful. Allah is not just merciful, Allah is the most merciful. Arhamur Rahimeen. But Rasulullah said, Rasulullah himself, about him Allah says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah is Rahim, Rasulullah is Rahim. Allah is Ra'uf, Rasulullah is Ra'uf. Kind, merciful, and loving, caring, forgiving, Rasulullah as well. Allahu Akbar. But when somebody, some say something nasty about his companions, Rasulullah said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِي فَقُولُوا لَانَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى شَرِّكُمْ. When you see people cursing my companions, then don't say, may Allah guide you, say, may Allah curse you. Allah, there are certain people Allah curses. لَانَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ لَانَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ لَانَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. Kadhibs, liars, zalims, kafir, Allah curses them along with them. Allah says, and there's another group of people Allah curses. Those who break off ties. You know, breaking off ties with brothers. Many people are not on talking terms with their fathers, mothers, uncles, aunties. Allah says, and they pray. They go to Umrah every year as well. And they might be even doing other good deeds. But if they are not talking terms with their parents, brothers and sisters, and fathers, brothers, mothers, brother and sister, and so on, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ اللَّعْنَةُ وَلَهُمْ سُوءُ الدَّارِ. They deserve Allah's curse. Another group Allah curses in the Quran. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Those who slander believers. And these Shias, they slander not just believers. They slander the mother of the believers. The man with the most iman. It says in Hadith, if the iman of the whole ummah is put on one side of the scale, iman of Abu Bakr on one side, iman of Abu Bakr alone is heavier than the iman of the whole ummah. And they have the audacity to slander Abu Bakr. And Rasulullah said, anybody I presented Islam to, they hesitated, except Abu Bakr. The moment Rasulullah presented, Abu Bakr accepted. Abu Bakr accepted. And Abu Bakr didn't just accept Islam and just keep his Islam to himself. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the first day he went and got people like Hazrat Usman, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Talha radiallahu anhu, the likes of such people, they came into Islam through the da'wat of Abu Bakr. His Islam was repetitive, mashallah. He just didn't keep it to himself. He presented Islam to others. In the Ummah, the first man to give da'wah in the Ummah is Abu Bakr. The first man, independent man to accept Islam and accept Islam without any hesitation, Abu Bakr. The first man to give da'wah is Abu Bakr. And not just give da'wah, as they say, put your money where your mouth is. Abu Bakr was rich. He started spending on needy Muslims, setting slaves free. So much so, there came a time, Rasulullah once said, who will give for the path of Allah? Abu Bakr went home. He didn't count his pennies. He just swept up everything he could lay his eye on and brought everything. It wasn't much because he'd always been spending. Little was left. Rasulullah didn't say, Abu Bakr, how much have you brought? Rasulullah said, Abu Bakr, what did you leave home? He said, Ya Rasulullah, nothing except the name of Allah and His Prophet. And that is Abu Bakr. People have the audacity to bark at Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. The Prophet said, I know a man is named the name of his father. When he will come, Jannah will welcome him with all its gates open. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what a lucky man. Who is he? Who else but Abu Bakr? Who else can it be but Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu? And Jannah will welcome him with all its gates open. And Jibreel came down, Ya Rasulullah, Allah is sending salam to Abu Bakr. Allah is asking, ask Abu Bakr, is he happy? He's got nothing left. Is he happy? And Rasulullah said, Abu Bakr, Allah is sending salam and asking you, are you happy with him? Hazrat Abu Bakr began to cry. Tears began to roll down his cheeks. Ya Rasulullah, why should Abu Bakr not be happy with Allah? It's my honor. Allah has accepted my wealth. We like to save our pennies. Abu Bakr didn't like saving. Like spending. Like spending in the path of Allah. So much so. Once Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I love three things. I live for three things. Many people have ambitions in life. Some people live for having barbecue, other things, you know, eating out, going on holidays, building a house, running his business, whatever. Abu Bakr had three ambitions in life. Ya Rasulullah, I love three things in life. First thing, I just love looking at your face. I just want any opportunity to sit in front of you and to look at your noble face. To see Rasulullah once with Iman, I said early, guaranteed immunity from Jahannam. But Abu Bakr loved looking at Rasulullah's face. Rasulullah had such rawb. You know what rawb means? Awesome personality. Even when Rasulullah would be sitting amongst his companions, inshallah, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, inshallah, we finish. When Rasulullah would be sitting amongst his companions, Rasulullah had such an awesome personality, Sahaba couldn't look into his eyes. They would just look down. It says in Hadith in Mishkat, except Abu Bakr and Umar, they would look at Rasulullah and smile at him. Rasulullah would look at them and smile at them. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he would look at Rasulullah's face. So much, so Allah gave him very special times with Rasulullah in a way no other Sahabi had such honor to see Rasulullah in a manner Abu Bakr used to see Rasulullah. He saw Rasulullah. Once Aisha asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, is there any man whose good deeds are equivalent to the stars in the sky? In other words, countless. You can't count the stars in the sky. You know, the astronomers now, they say, Earth is a small planet in the solar system. Our solar system, small planet, a small system in our galaxy. Our galaxy is just a small Milky Way galaxy in the billions of galaxies in the universe. It's just endless stuff out there. Countless. Anybody with deeds equivalent to so many stars? The Prophet said, yes, there is one man. And she was expecting it would be Abu Bakr. But the Prophet said, it is Umar. Hazrat Aisha felt disappointed. And the Prophet said, Aisha, you disappointed youth, or I'll say your father, Umar's deeds aren't even equivalent to one deed of Abu Bakr. And the night he spent with Rasulullah in the cave. Once Hazrat Umar came to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr, I want to make a deal with you. You know, people like mailing, people like wheeling dealings. He said, Abu Bakr, I want to make a deal with you. What's the deal? I'll give you everything. Not just mine, what I've done. Whatever I've done, whatever any member of my family has ever done, you can have everything. And I don't want your deeds. Not everything. You can keep everything. Just give me one day and one night from your account. Who is Umar? If there was to be another prophet after him, it would be Umar. Rasulullah said, "Oh Umar, I swear by him who holds my life in his hands, when you walk a path, shaitan leaves. Shaitan can't come in your path." Allah talks to Umar. Allah loves Umar radiallahu. Rasulullah wanted Umar. Such Umar. Let alone, and even the non-Muslims, they say, if there would have been one more Umar, have you heard the quote? The world would have been full of Islam. Even the non-Muslims know Umar, radiallahu anhu. And this Umar is saying, Abu Bakr, I want to make a deal. What's the deal? Everything I've ever done, my family's ever done, you can have only one day. Only one day, only one day and one night. What day, what night? The day Rasulullah passed away, and the steadfastness Abu Bakr showed to hold and keep the ummah together, and the night you spent with the Prophet in the cave. Just give me one day, one night. And the Shias have the, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu say, "You're not fooling me with that one. You know, you think you've given me so much? No, you're not having that one. That's my big thing." The Shias, they say, the day Rasulullah passed away, Abu Bakr and Umar were busy arguing and fighting over Khilafat. They wasn't busy over fighting over Khilafat. Abu Bakr was busy saving the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So everything Ummah will ever do will go into Abu Bakr's account, because Abu Bakr held the Ummah together. The day everybody was crying, didn't know what was happening, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu who Allah held his senses together, and Allahu Akbar. And he saved the ummah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, he used to live for three things. Ya Rasulullah, I love looking at your face. Spending upon you. And I'm so proud. My daughter is your wife. My daughter is your wife. It's honorable to take from Rasulullah. Rasulullah gave a wife to Hazrat Ali. His daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. Hazrat Ali took from Rasulullah. But taking from Rasulullah is special as well. But taking is taking and giving is giving. Abu Bakr gave everything to Rasulullah. Hazrat Ali took everything from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But taking is taking and giving is. Abu Bakr held nothing back from Rasulullah. And so much so, Allah knows what Abu Bakr did. So Allah honored Abu Bakr. How? When Rasulullah left this world, Abu Bakr joined Rasulullah. To be with Rasulullah. He was with Rasulullah in the cave. Is with Rasulullah in the grave, and will rise with Rasulullah. Once Rasulullah was going, as Abu Bakr on the right, Umar on the left, Rasulullah put his hands on Abu Bakr and Umar. And he said, "Hakadha nubathu yawm al-qiyamah." This is how we will rise on the day of Qiyamah as well. With the Prophet from the beginning, with the Prophet in the cave, with the Prophet in the grave, will rise with the Prophet on the day of Qiyamah, shall be with the Prophet on the pond and then beyond for eternity. Anybody wants to burn, let them burn in hell for eternity. But Abu Bakr and Umar will be with Rasulullah. No one has ever been able to separate them. No one will ever separate them. And then no one can ever separate them. Abu Bakr is a true friend of Rasulullah. The Prophet said, "Me and Abu Bakr and Umar, ana wa Abu Bakr wa Umar, khuliqna min turbatin wahida wa fiha nudfan." Me and Abu Bakr and Umar have been created from the same clay, from the same dust, and we will be buried therein. Allah has kept them together. No one, doesn't matter how much they bark. And when I mean bark, I mean bark. That's what they bark. When anybody say anything at Abu Bakr or Umar radiallahu anhuma or Aisha or Hafsa, then you know they are barking. They are barking. They are insulting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dearest friends. And as Rasulullah said, they should not deserve your sympathy. Your sympathy should be with Abu Bakr and Umar and Aisha. And when you see these people, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by their temples. Don't be fooled by if they're holding a Quran. Don't be fooled if they are praying. Don't be fooled if they say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Don't be fooled if they're going to Hajj. The Prophet said, "إذا رأيتم الذين يسبون أصحابي فقولوا لعنة الله على شركم." Say, "Allah's curse be upon you." إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ Those who insult such people, Allah will curse them in this world and Allah will curse them in the akhirah. May Allah save us all. This is a big fitna, as Maulana was saying. Some years ago, people in South Africa used to think you're immune. Simple community, we've got nothing to worry about. Now when it hit you hard, now you know. And don't think other fitnas, oh man, our community is safe. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prophesied coming of such time, people will be Muslim in the morning, kafir by the evening. Save yourselves while you can. You can get an antibiotic for an infection, but not for a virus. When a virus sets in, then it becomes a plague, becomes an epidemic. This is what's becoming, and this is a sign of evil. Some people say they're spreading, they must be right. We are living in times of fitna and fasad. They are spreading because it is evil. Now our graph is down the hill. You know, when people go to school, they study mathematics. You know, y equals mx plus c going up slowly. The graph of goodness isn't going up. The graph of goodness is coming down. So if it's going up, it means it's not good. It's evil. So you want to save yourselves. Save yourself, save your women folk, save your children from this fitna, fitna of Shiaism, fitna of Qadianism and other isms. May Allah save us all, may Allah guide us to the right path. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahu bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وجل آخرتنا خير من الأولى ربي اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين يا الله we seek your fazl and mercy and forgiveness guide us all to the right path يا الله have mercy upon us forgive our sins of our parents families mothers children sons and daughters يا الله our friends and relatives the whole ummah of your beloved prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم have mercy upon us and save us and guide us all يا الله enable us to live like Muslims die like Muslims and rise like Muslims on the day of Qiyamah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sallam.